Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. This week, my guests are from The Dunning Man, and the last filmmakers that I spoke to are Emmy Award-winning cinematographer Peter Sickhart and the film editor Ian Bloom. And they talked to me about how the story of a film is pieced together through the way shots are filmed and the choices that are made through editing. It's fascinating how many parts there are to making the visual art that is a film: the story, the directing, the acting, the music, the cinematography, the editing, and all the various parts have to be good for the film to work. So let's hear from Peter and Ian about the aspects of bringing the film together in terms of shooting it and editing it.
My name is Peter Sickhart, and I was the cinematographer on Dunning Man.
And Ian Bloom, the film editor.
So one of the other people I spoke to mentioned that there was a lot of editing, and I don't know whether maybe there was a lot of advanced storyboarding because there were a lot of different locations. Was that something that had to be given a lot of thought in the film?
Well, Michael and I met about the movie about a year and a half before we ever started shooting the movie.
Okay.
And I think we kind of laid out the type of style that we would like to see, the references, movies, paintings, pictures, photos, the texture of the movie. We spent a lot of time talking about the character. To me, as a cinematographer, the most important thing, I think, is to tell a story and to portray the story visually, and to help the director, being able to show the character the way he wants, and sort of support him with my visuals. And I think if you watch the movie, James, who played Connor, is really kind of stuck in his world. It's unsure. It's discovering. It's trying to figure out what to do. It's quite unhappy. Is anxious. Is jittery. And so we figured, let's try to do that with the work of the camera and see if we can sort of follow his journey in that same style. And so we shot it. We shot a lot of it not very traditionally. We never had marks for actors. As a rule, it was always, we never really lit for particular spots. We lit spaces rather than lighting scenes. Mm-hmm. We chose lenses that would allow us to do really long takes and just run the scenes in its entirety. I think the crew, I kind of became known as the famous Peter 360 style of shooting. And it was, so the camera was handheld, it was 360, everything was fair. There were no obstacles on set that I couldn't go to. And as a result, the actors had absolute freedom.
Yeah.
So, I think the actors appreciated it because they could go more or less anywhere they wanted in the room. I would follow them and I would capture what they felt like. We would give them pointers, what we thought was important, which areas of the locations were good for them to be in at particular time of the scenes, where it might be better for lighting. But generally, they were very free. Yeah. So on one hand, they loved it because they felt like they never had to be sort of stiff and making sure they hit the right mark and all of that. On the other hand, it's a little bit hard because they were never off. It was never like, now we're shooting James, you can relax and just do your lines. It was like, no, I could go to you or James or anyone else in the scene at any moment.
Okay.
So they were all like, oh, I guess we never get a break.
Yeah.
And I think that visual style is very interesting.
Yes.
I think it did go well with the movie. I think it made Ian's life difficult, at least in the beginning, because it's not, you have to search.
You get a lot more footage, do you?
I don't know if you get a lot more footage, but you certainly have to search for what's there, because
okay.
It's not like, well, now I have four versions of a close-up, and that's what it's going to be, because every take, it might be different.
Yes.
And he got to know my style pretty well editing, and maybe he could talk about how he transmitted that style to the screen, to what you end up seeing.
That's not a common approach, is it, what you're describing?
I would say it's not. I think it's probably becoming a little more popular. I don't know if it's very uncommon, but it's not, certainly not traditional.
No.
I come from before I started to do fiction. The last 5 years, I did quite a bit of documentary. So for me, it's very natural. to do that. And my camera, handheld camera work, you know, I'm capable of capturing things as they unfold.
Yeah.
So traditional, maybe not, but I would also say that maybe it's being used maybe more and more. You know, I think for the actors, it's fantastic. Every actor I work with in this style, if I do this style, they love it. They really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I could see that.
It's
now,
like being on stage, I think, for an actor, from their perspective, you know, it's like it's a natural breakdown of we're in this scene together. And
yes,
it's very natural conversationally.
Yeah.
You respond to each other in the moment. You're more like immersed in it than if the camera is here on a tripod and we're shooting four takes of you sitting there and the person in the other chair is not going to be covered for the next 2 hours. They have to remember what they did when they finally move the camera across the room and shoot the other side of it.
Right.
With Peter's style, the actors got to basically be in theater.
And what about...
The boom operator didn't like it very much. he was all over the place. but I think the goal is for the actors to forget that there's a camera.
Yeah.
Right. To be just like we like to like the spaces and have the lighting tell the story of that space. We like the actors to feel like they're just in life rather than making a movie and being stiff about it.
So you wouldn't also be telling them what shots are coming up, like I'm doing a big close-up of you now? No.
When people ask me, are you doing the master shot now? I'm like, no, what do you mean? No, what is it? It's all masters and I can be at anywhere at any time. And, you know, they're all masters in different lenses, different sizes.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't know what I do. And I think it's good. It works, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the editor is... I don't know if serving is the right word, collaborating, you know, with the director's vision, the DP's vision, and they're also often referred to as the actor's friend, because you can kind of make or break an actor's performance on how you edit them. How do you hold all of those different things, or are they all the same thing in your mind?
They're all part of the same process for me, which is making the best film possible, and sometimes being brutally honest with any given performance or even the script, most importantly, where you are taking an idea that everybody was in love with when they read it and realizing that either it doesn't work or it works much better in a very different way.
Right.
And creating meaning and thought is really my primary thing. Like I love, the reason that I am drawn to editing is the way it mimics thought. The way that you can manipulate what someone takes out of a scene, whether you're going to show me if this is a scene in a film and I'm talking about film editing, is it more interesting or is it more important for the overall story to see me do that, or is it more important to see you react to me doing that? Or am I such a bad actor that I can't get through the whole scene in one like really good clear take and we need to cut in and out of four or five different versions of that performance to create what is the best performance? And you know, that's really doing that in a graceful, like seamless way is really what it's all about.
I mean, I could add to that. Part of the reason to shoot this way, I mean, besides giving the freedom, but it also gives a freedom to me as a cinematographer. Because if you're on a dolly or on a tripod or on a crane, you're a little bit stuck to your confinements. I mean, you know, if you're on a dolly, you can move. If you're on a crane, you can move around as well. But what it allows me to do is to photograph emotion. And, you know, I think that's something, it's emotion is not necessarily displayed on somebody talking. You know, the emotion is displayed by people's body language, their hands, their fidgeting, their feet, the way they breathe, the way they look around. And if I have the option to break off from the main actor talking and go to the one listening, because, you know, I think it may be far more emotional to see somebody crying because something that they're being told than somebody telling them whatever they're telling them.
Yes.
or reacting. So, you know, I'm watching with my left eyes, I'm shooting what's going on around me. And if I realize there's another actor having a reaction to what's being said, I can go to them freely and capture those hands or the feet or the look into nowhere or whatever that is.
It's valuable if there is no, if, you know, a lot of editors will tell you that if there's a performance happening with dialogue, that needs to be on camera at all times, at least from the sense of how to shoot a scene. But there are some very honest reactions that you don't get when you're like, okay, now this is going to be your take and we want to shoot that reaction. And Peter is great at catching those. And sometimes you're also given the fact that, like, when you've gone across the room and you're shooting this moment that would not have been caught in a traditional way, the best version of the take that is actually, like, in the script is happening off camera. But that's kind of okay too, because it's happening for the same reasons, because the camera is not in their face.
I'm really interested in how memory is iconographic, you know, what we choose to remember, events and stories of our lives. And when you were talking about making those different choices, I was thinking, you know, that's what you're doing, isn't it? Is you're creating those moments and piecing them together in the way for the viewer then to see the story. I just hadn't really thought about it like that.
It's absolutely true. I mean, yeah. You look at this conversation. You know, there's three of us sitting here talking, you know, but there's all sorts of things that happen, and they happen visually, and they have nothing to do with our conversation. But probably a year from now, I probably won't remember how we were sitting or your face, but I'm pretty sure I'll remember the lady who just walked by with the garbage can, completely unaware of what we were doing. You know, yeah. I probably will remember these lampshades. I'll remember the posture of our friends who are standing there waiting for us, wanting to go grab a coffee or whatever they're doing. You know, all those little things, yeah. is our mind captures in a scene. You know, mm-hmm. this was yeah. a scene. And I think they're just as valid to the experience as just, you know, seeing the three of us talking.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I thought the film was very interesting visually and very engaging. So well done, both of you, and thank you very much for talking to me.
Great.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you very much. I mean, yeah, it's the trick of knowing where to use that material too. When to have the woman walk by with the garbage can, or when to show the impatient friends who are like waiting to get out of here. Yes. or you know, like, that's really where the fun happens for me, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you watch the film, there is a scene where James is by swimming pool, sort of on a phone call, and, you know, is yelling into the phone with the lawyer. And, you know, I just thought, like, not the most important angle, but one of the angles is the pool. And, you know, I asked all the people who were just, I think, hanging out by the pool, I said, would you be in the movie and just watch this guy going crazy over there? Mm-hmm. And so all those great reactions were because I just went after those people and I said, I want to film you. And then I thought, like, in the middle of the scene, I'm going to get into the pool with the camera on my shoulder. And I asked the guy to come and just swim by. Uh-huh. And it makes for a fantastic,
it's for the whole film.
Yeah. It's for a great shot. It makes for a great shot. And it's that type of thing that happens in life.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you talk about the construction of a scene, and you have a scene with one person on a phone call, you need that stuff. As an editor, I desperately need that stuff to be able to do what you were just talking about, which is craft that performance. Yeah. The other part of that is the other half of the phone call, which is a complete blank canvas, as far as I'm concerned, that you can have, you know, you can rewrite it. Yeah. Anything that works as a response is fair game. Yeah. So,
well, thank you so much, both of you.
All right,
of course.
Cheers.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and thanks again very much to all my guests from the film The Dunning Man, which had its world premiere at the Cinequest Film Festival. I think it's really interesting hearing how all the different parts come together, as I said earlier. And it certainly was interesting visually. So learning about how Peter Sickhart filmed it with this very different style of not setting up shots in the way that are normally done with, you know, the tripod and we're shooting in this direction or whatever. It's not something I'd really come across before, so I thought that was pretty interesting. So watch out for the Dunning Man. You can follow it on Facebook, and hopefully down the line, after it's been around the festivals, it will have a theatrical release. So again, that's the Dunning Man. And just to remind you, It's a Question of Balance has a topic hour and a guest hour. So be sure to tune in to hear thought-provoking topic discussions on the street, as well as inspiring interviews with guests from the arts. And of course, if you go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, you can find podcasts there from all previous shows. If you go to the homepage at the top, there's a topics tab and a guest tab. Click on one of those and you will see all the photographs of all the different topics and guests. So click on them and you'll get the audio. Thanks very much for listening. I look forward to you joining me again next time.